Jenna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jenna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Happy Hour here on K104. We've got Jenna Spilbor, we've got Carol Pesci, we have myself, I am Frankenberry, and we are back for, like I said, another episode of what I'm sure is going to be another fantastico show.
How could it not?
I know.
Well, indeed.
With the three of us, how could it not?
Can I kick off the show by doing something we probably rarely do?
Complaints.
Right. I want to talk a little bit about last week's guest. As you guys know, we had on the Laura Friedman Williams, who's the author of Available. Okay. She was our guest last week. And I just want to say I finished her book in between last week's show and this week's show because I was about halfway through when we had her on. Oh, my God. I can't emphasize enough how much I enjoyed that read. And you know what it was? Not just the courage that she had to talk about some really raw and real stuff that happens like after divorce when a woman, you know, a grown up ends a long-term marriage and then has to kind of like get out in the dating world. But she did something that was really, really genius. And I'm going to let people know in case you haven't already picked up her book, but it was like combining 50 Shades of Grey with real life. It was really kind of like she got down and dirty in some really sexy kind of real life scenes. And I'm like, this was very clever for her to do because you get like women, we love those kind of like romantic kind of novels. And at the same time, we like real life stories about courage and bravery and triumph.
Wow.
Combine them both. Really good read. Again, the book is called Available. And I also noticed it, she had a couple of different subtitles depending on where the book was released. But I think ours was called Available, A Memoir of Sex and Dating After a Marriage Ends by Laura Friedman Williams. It was a really, really enjoyable read for me, or listen in my case.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, Jenna, when I saw your weekly Facebook post promoting the show, that was the first time I had seen the cover of the book.
And we talked about that.
Yes,
too.
And we did talk about that, and now I can see exactly what Laura was talking about. When you know, yes, certainly the peach is better than the eggplant, but not by much.
Yeah, it's pretty on point.
Yes, especially with the word available sitting right there on the peach.
And you know what I gotta say, and I've not read the whole thing yet, I will, especially with your glowing recommendation. As a writer and author myself, it is, and Frankenberry, and you, I guess you both write, just, you know, you Frankenberry with your blog, Jenna, you on Facebook, which you could compile those and you would have an instant book anyway. But it takes courage to put yourself out there. It's intimidating. Even for me, every time I write, and it's funny we're talking about this because yesterday I had texted Jenna the introduction to my next book, and it's always like, even hitting send to my really good friends, like, oh, how is it going to be received? And then she texts me like 9 o'clock last night, your intro's excellent. I'm like, yes. So, but to take what she's done and really get raw and real and so intimate, that takes so much guts. I admire that so much.
And there is a really, I'm not going to ruin the book in case anybody hasn't gotten to this point or hasn't picked it up yet. But I got to tell you, there's a point in the book. I'm actually glad I hadn't gotten to this chapter when we spoke with her because I definitely would have given it away. But where she is like, this is how real it is. Okay. So for anybody who didn't listen to last week's show, you can always go back and listen to last week's show, download it from the K104 website. But we talked to author Laura Friedman Williams, who was married for 22 years, was with her husband for 27 years, married for 22 of those. Turns out he's having an affair. He falls in love with somebody else. Their marriage crumbles. And she's a mother of three, and this is the only life she's ever known. But she says to herself, basically, you know what? I'm going to make up for some lost time. And she goes up, yes. And she very courageously meets a bunch of people, and she goes on these dates. Well, one of the scenes, and she doesn't hold back in terms of, she really wanted to explore her sexuality, for lack of a better word. Well, so one of the scenes in the book, she's at one of her dates' homes, and he happens to have a daughter, must be like an older teenage daughter, who wasn't supposed to be home, but comes home at a very inopportune time. One thing leads to another, and she describes how Laura, the author, ends up on his bathroom floor with the shower curtain pulled down because she tried to save her fill by grabbing onto the shower curtain, which never works when the shower curtain is one of those like spring-loaded shower curtains.
No.
She like butt over tea kettle on the floor, back into the trash can in the garbage, and this teenage daughter hears this commotion.
Oh my God.
It's actually funny, even though she may have broken a rib. But it's that kind of thing. Like, she gives it all. She gives us the good, the bad, and the ugly of this journey. And I laughed out loud at that point. So, once again, if you want to listen to last week's show, you can, obviously, at the K104 website, pick up the book available by Laura Friedman Williams. Anywho, speaking of bathroom mishaps, that is a non-segu-segu. I do not have one. I just
and nor would you ever that. Discuss it if you did.
right. Although technically, wait a minute. I stand corrected. This was kind of a bathroom mishap that I want to ask you guys about, because I'm just going to ask this question. Do you guys talk to yourselves like regularly? Talk to yourselves out loud?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Except I just claim that it's me talking to the cats to make myself feel better that I'm not going nuts.
Well, so when you talk to yourselves, when would you do that? And what are you talking to yourself about?
Sometimes I just talk to myself to get words out there in the air, and then I'll say to my, and then, you know, maybe I think of something funny and I have to say it out loud, makes it easier to remember. And then maybe I'll use it in my blog later on, or again, I just have conversations with Bella the cat.
Okay.
Sometimes I ask her how I look. She looks at me with an unblinking stare, like I've got three heads, and I say, thank you. And I walk out the door.
Well, that's nice. You have a little reassuring, nod from Bella the cat.
Yes.
Carol, when do you talk to yourself?
I talk to Ginger all day long, but that's not really talking to myself.
Yeah,
I will just random thoughts. So I work from home every day all alone. I've got to talk to somebody.
Right. Exactly. But,
it's usually my thoughts, but I just express them like, oh yeah, I got to make sure I do that. Oh, I left my coffee in the microwave. So silly things like that.
Okay. So you don't actually have like full-blown conversations with a person that you intend to have a conversation with, and you're kind of like rehearsing it?
Well, I've done that before. You know, I've actually come up with retorts. You know, I'll have a list of possible things that people might say to me, and then I come up with the really good retort, because how many of us just wish we always had one?
Always right. Me. I'm always after the fact. I'm not quick exactly like that. Like, oh, that would have been great.
I know.
I should have said this.
Yes.
Well, that's interesting, because that's kind of why. So I, for some reason this week, I either got caught or caught myself talking to myself quite a bit. And it occurred to me that I have full, like when I talk to myself, I've done what you mentioned, Carol, like, oh, I left the coffee cup under the Keurig or whatever. But sometimes I will practice things that I need to, whether it's a legal argument or whether it's an uncomfortable conversation that I need to have with somebody, and I'll be saying it out loud and not even realize that I'm saying it out loud. Until, like, for example, this week I was in my bathroom having one of those conversations where if somebody's listening to you, they only hear one side, because it, you know, you're having conversation in your head, but you're uttering words.
Right.
So my much younger paramour actually came up behind me. I was in my bathroom earlier in the week, and he's like, who are you talking to? And it, like, you know, struck me, because I'm like, oh, wow, you're right. I was just having a full-blown conversation, but you wouldn't know that because you couldn't hear the voice in my head talking back.
It was like you're on the phone with yourself.
That's hilarious.
Or the imaginary friend that you had when you were five suddenly reappeared.
Oh, we didn't have any imaginary friends, Frankenberry. That must have just been you and your own weirdness.
What do you mean we? When you say we, do you mean you?
That is different. I think every kid probably had some sort of weird imaginary friend. But anyway, so I got caught doing that. And then, of course, once I got caught talking to myself, I was hyper alert and hyper aware of all the other times that I must just walk around having a conversation with myself. So fast forward from that bathroom scene to I had to go to, and Carol knows because we share the same hair salon. I had to go to the hair salon, and now it's been nice weather. The weather's being warmer. I get to the hair salon. It just so happened that I was traveling with my mother had made me, since it's nice weather, these nice flower pots, right, full of plants that attract hummingbirds. So I had two of them in my back seat, and I drove to the hair salon. Well, you know, a couple of lefts, a couple of rights, and sure enough, these darn plants were all tipsy-turvy. The dirt's all over the back of my car. No. Yeah.
Wait. And the back of your regular car or your beater BMW?
In my beater BMW.
I hate both of you.
Come on.
BMW. Sorry, you can't use those two words together or those two things together.
I'm making fun of her too, Frankenberry. I'm in the all kitchen right with you on this.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, nice. So, okay, so me and my beater BMW swing into the parking lot of this hair salon. Now, for some reason, I have zero situational awareness at this particular moment. And I swing open the door and I see the dirt all over the place. I'm trying to straighten it out. And I just start saying very loudly one word over and over again. And that word...
Does it rhyme with duck?
It rhymes with duck. And I am,
you sure it doesn't rhyme with a duck's mom?
Oh. Nope. It was
okay.
Duck,
just flayed up duck. Okay.
Duck. And I'm not even whispering it, you guys. It was like I was in my own little world. Duck, 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 duck. And I'm cleaning up the dirt and ducking all over the place. Now, okay, so I finish, I get the dirt off my hands, I go walking inside. A few minutes later, I happen to be sitting next to an open window in the hair salon, and I look out of the open window, and sure enough, this open window opens out into the parking lot where I can clearly see my car about 10 feet away. And I said to myself, oh my God, I just gave somebody a duck serenade. Whoever was sitting here 10 minutes ago must have heard the whole diatribe, the whole single word vulgar diatribe. And I wasn't so much embarrassed about my choice of words. I was embarrassed that I was talking to myself again. Like, maybe it's a thing. Like, maybe I need like a, you know, like you have AA. I need like talking to yourself anonymous. Like, maybe it's not normal to do it like that.
No, I do. Jonna, regularly. Yeah. Jonna, that is very normal. I have to tell you, I had in the back of my car, I had a big old garbage bag with recyclables and cans, you know, either beer cans or seltzer water cans, recyclables. And I didn't realize, but apparently it had tipped over in the back of the car.
Mm-hmm.
And in my back seat, actually, sorry, not the backpack, just like you. But it didn't just tip over. Some of the cans tipped over. Of course they did, upside down. Okay. So, you know, so now I've got recyclables all over the back of the car. So I noticed this when I'm bringing my groceries out from Stop and Shop and I open the door. Now, the only difference between my spew of obscenities and yours is that mine was a duck's mother. And I just kept saying it over and over and over again while I tried to clean this up. And as
that's your mantra, Frankenberry. Oh, that's you.
Yeah, that is my go-to. So, so I get it all done, and I close the door, and I'm getting ready to get in the car. And as I'm opening the driver's side door, two cars over from me is this older woman getting into her car. And I was like, I was like, and then again, what did I do again? Except just not out loud. A duck's mom in my head.
Yeah.
I know.
A little icing on the cake there.
So you're not alone there, Spielberg.
But that's the other thing. Like, I know people, sometimes it's your word choice. Like, there's no way that I would ever, forget talking to myself or screaming out loud. Like, fudge would never work for me. Like, it's got to be the real thing, or I'm not getting it out and getting it off my chest.
Oh, exactly.
So to speak. And why is that? There's got to be some sort of weird science to that, I bet.
Well, haven't we learned before that people who curse are supposed to be more intelligent or something? Or
And you know what's funny, Jonna, is I knew this when I was a child, because I remember this clear as day. I was in the car with my mom and dad, and I was maybe 5 or 6 years old, and I'm in the back seat, and something happened. I don't know. We hit a pothole or something, and the car bounced, and I said, "Oh, damn." So my mother turns around and she says, "Stephen, you shouldn't say that word. If you want to say that word, you should say darn instead." And I looked at my mom and I said, "But I still mean damn."
Yeah.
And that's when my mom just turned around and she didn't say another word. But I'm like, yeah, no, it doesn't work unless you say the actual word. Sorry. You know, H-E double hockey sticks is not hell.
It doesn't feel as good.
No.
But you just reminded me of, I remember this clear as day, the first time I ever swore, which happened to be in front of my dad. I can tell you exactly. Here's the scenario. And because I can still feel the fear. The sheer terror that went through my body. So we were watching Star Trek, I think. I was a kid, and we were sitting on the living room floor watching Star Trek, and my father said something, and I forget, Captain Kirk was doing something. My father said, "What the hell is he doing?" And I just was like a parrot. I said, "Yeah, what the hell is he doing?" And I remember the moment I uttered the sentence, I just stiffened up. Because I thought for sure I was going to get in so much trouble for saying that. But I didn't realize, I was too young to realize, he couldn't yell at me for saying that because he just did it in front of me.
Right.
So it
right.
was like, it was like having a free pass. So I didn't get in trouble. And there I embarked on just a nonstop cursing from that point on. I think I was maybe 5.
You embarked on a lifetime of cursing joy right after that. It's nice.
My cursing career began. Yeah. That's how it happens, guys. It was like my gateway curse.
That's why you're so good at it now.
Exactly.
You've been at it a long time.
See, the first time it happened for me, I was a little bit older. I was like 12 years old or so, and we had this air conditioner in the house that was like, I think the house was built around the air conditioner. It was one of those air conditioners that was like, you know, the size of a tank, you know?
We had one.
Like this industrial thing that for some reason was sitting in your kitchen.
Oh, wow.
In a big hole in the wall. So it broke down. It was done. And my dad said, you know, "Steve, can you help me take this? We're going to throw it into the backyard," because we had this rock wall end of the yard. Because basically in my dad's mind, if you threw anything over the rock wall, it no longer existed. Okay. So that's what was going to happen.
Wait. Your mother's still around, right?
No,
she didn't throw it over the rock.
No, okay. He didn't ask me to help with that. So we're standing there and we've got this monstrous air conditioner and it's heavy as hell. And then he says, "All right, on three." So we do the one and we're rocking it back and forth, the two, the three. He ends up throwing it earlier than the three. And a corner of it drags right across my chest.
To the point where
in the t-shirt that I'm wearing, you can slowly see like in a movie, the blood starting to come up.
So
I looked down, I looked at my dad because I had dropped this thing now and it almost hit my foot at the same time. And I just went, "Oh, F." And then I was in the same moment as you, Jonna. I was like, "Oh, my God, what did I just do?" I just said F in front of my dad. And I looked up and my dad, he looked angry for 1 second. And he just started laughing his butt off. He's looking at the blood in my chest. He's realizing said that. And he thinks we did manage to get it over the rock wall. So now that air conditioner no longer existed. My dad thought that was the funniest thing ever.
Well, oh my gosh. What's so funny about it? You just basically almost gave yourself a crush injury to the sternum, yeah, which could have killed you. And you're more concerned that you just dropped an F-bomb than your father.
And my father thinks it's funny.
Oh my gosh.
So conditioned as kids. Oh, you know, that's nice.
I enjoy cursing. I do. But you got to find that balance, right? You can't curse so much that it kind of loses its impact.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. You know what? Uh-huh. Last week, I thought you had your best one. The week before that, I thought you had your best one. And what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Oh, man. Okay. Well, folks, in case you haven't figured it out, she just did it again. Another fabulous Sigu. Why is she talking about balance? Because... Oh, boy. When you're good, you're good.
Listen to Carol with the self-satisfied sigh. Oh, boy, am I good.
When we're done with this show, I'm going to walk around the house talking about it.
She earned that. Because when we come back from the break, as a matter of fact, we're going to be talking to Pastor Teray Roberts, who wrote a book entitled, What? Yes, Balance. Pat, so I'll give you a little quick intro, but we'll talk more when we come back from the break. So Pastor Teray is a best-selling author of 3 published books and is most widely known for being the founder of one of the most influential faith and empowerment congregations in the world, entitled One, formerly One Church LA. So he's written a book entitled Balance. This is funny, guys, because I just got visited by a 100-pound dog, but notice I didn't miss a beat. the book is entitled Balance, Positioning Yourself to Do All Things Well. And I got to tell you guys, I'm halfway through this book, too, at the moment, and it is fabulous. And I'm listening to it like I listen to all my books. His voice, his cadence, his message, everything is just one complete perfect package. So when we get back from the break, we're going to be talking to Pastor Teray Roberts, really cool guy, author of Balance, Position Yourself to Do All Things Well.
All right. That is the guest that we have coming up. So please stick around so you can hear what he has to say. You're listening to Happy Hour with Jonas Spilbore and Carol Pesci, and we will be right back.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Live better, laugh harder. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back to Happy Hour here on K104 with Jonas Spilbore and Carol Pesci. And it is time now to get to our guest for today. And we are going to be talking to Teray Roberts. He's published a number of books, but he's got a brand new one. And Jonna, you can tell us about that.
He does. And it's Pastor Teray Roberts. And what a special guest he is. I love His introduction is, he's not only a best-selling author, businessman, pastor, producer, but he's also, and I love this, an influencer of influencers. I do love that too. His official bio is, Pastor Teray is the best-selling author of 3 published books and is most widely known for being the founder of one of the most influential faith and empowerment congregations in the world. It's now called One, formerly One Church LA. Now, even though he's written 3 books, his most recent one is entitled Balance, Positioning Yourself to Do All Things Well. And I got to tell you guys, sometimes when I'm looking for guests to come on this show, I find a book that just kind of like makes me all tingly inside when I read the cover. This was one of those books, and I'm tingling even more now that I'm into the book. So it's going to be really great. Our audience is going to love this. Pastor Teray, welcome to Happy Hour.
Thank you so much, John. It's so wonderful to be with you all this morning.
No, it is so good to have you. So what an interesting story, life, backstory you have. Would you mind giving our audience just a little bit more about you?
Yeah. You know, becoming a pastor, if you'd have come to me 25 years ago or so and said I'd be pastoring, I would have really asked you what you had been smoking and where I might be able to find it myself. My background is business. I built business and technology. I built data centers for Fortune 500 companies. And, you know, just throughout my journey, realized that you can do well externally, but not do so well internally. And that was what happened to me. And it launched me in a spiritual journey, which culminated in ultimately organizing a church that ended up being planted in North Hollywood and attracted many people in the entertainment industry. And it has grown to this multiple thousand organization locally and hundreds of thousands globally through technology. And so it's been a fascinating journey. And out of that, I've also been able to write some really inspirational books. In fact, even transcending inspiration, they have become transformational according to the feedback that I'm getting. So I'm just really blessed to be in this space that I'm in.
You know, I would agree with that word, transformational. And I think this book in particular is precisely about that. And before we jump in, I also want our audience to know that one of the other interesting things that about your life is that you wrote this book with your wife, right? And she's also a pastor. Do I have that correct?
Yeah, my wife, Sarah, wrote the foreword for this book, and she obviously is well qualified to do so as she's seen me walk out the principles of this book. And as a family, we've lived them out. But yes, yeah, she's also she's a pastor. She's an author as well. In fact, she's written more books than me. I think she's written five books. I'm at three.
Wow.
But I'm kind of her assistant.
A little healthy competition there. So it sounds like you wrote this book, maybe you started it during the pandemic or were inspired during the pandemic to write this book. And I got to tell you, I'm one of the people who are really trying to get past all of the hurdles that so many of us lived through, all of us lived through during the pandemic. And I'm really trying to get back to a normal place. And one of the reasons why I'm attracted to your book is that I feel like normal has now changed. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I'm running towards something that I no longer recognize. And when I picked up your book and started reading it, I'm like, this is it. This might be my answer. So let's talk a little bit about balance. And I was mentioning to you off air, one of the very first principles or one of the things you say in the book is that balance is actually a place. Obviously, it's not a place on the map, but it's mm-hmm. a place. Can we talk about, can we start there? What you mean by balance?
Absolutely. You know, one of the reasons why people are frustrated at the notion of balance, some people even call it a myth, is because they approach it as it being some sort of a discipline that if they can work this discipline properly, mm-hmm. then they will succeed. And they come up short. The discipline being, you know, dividing yourself up into pieces and giving pieces of yourself to things that matter. And if somehow I equally divide myself up, then I'll be, you know, a great spouse, a great business person, a great parent, you know, a great leader, whatever it might be. And the reality of it is, even practically speaking, you and I can't give pieces of ourselves to things that are important. And so, so when I say balance is a place, I'm really talking about a state, a dimension of existence, if you would, that ultimately produces your best. Balance is not a discipline. It's a location. And if we bring ourselves to that location, spiritual location, then, and then allow that place to really perfect us, make us whole, then we can turn around and give our whole self to other things. Because the issue with balance is when people say that they're out of balance, what they're saying is there's some area in my life that I am not giving my best to, or I'm not succeeding in. And so really the cry out is, I want to do my best. I want to be my best. And so that's exactly what my definition of balance allows. It allows you to actually be your best so that you can bring your best to the things that matter the most.
And does that begin, this is Carol, Tori, does that begin with really stepping back and saying what really matters to me?
Absolutely. I think prioritization is everything. In fact, prioritization is a principle in the book, but I approach prioritization slightly differently. In I talk about prioritizing self. And, you know, even mm-hmm. hearing that, prioritizing self, you think, man, that's selfish. You know, like, you know, you've got these responsibilities. You might be a wife or a husband or a partner or, you know, a parent or a teacher, whatever it might be. And you're like, what do you mean prioritize yourself? I've got all these responsibilities, but you actually do those responsibilities, whether they're people or jobs or whatever, investors, you do them a disservice by not prioritizing yourself. And so, yes, it's certainly about priorities. It's certainly about finding out not what matters the most. But if something really matters to you and you want to give your best to that thing that matters to you, then you have to prioritize yourself, quite frankly, above those things.
Don't you have a term for that? That it's not selfish. You have a different term for that, right?
I do. I call it selfful. You know, so it's
I
not
love
selfish.
That so much. Yes,
selfful, and it's to be mindful of self, because so often good people, we're all, you know, most people are really good people, and they want to do well for others, and so they have this notion that if they prioritize self, somehow they're depriving other people, and so selfful means being mindful of self. Hey, I have needs. I've got to, you know, figure out who I am and what I need and what will produce the best me. And if I do that, being self-full will actually allow you to give more of self to things and people that matter.
All right. So I want to say this to be funny, but it's really real. A preach. I guess pun is intended. But that's such an important notion. And I think we've come to feel like we are being our best selves when we don't put ourselves first and we sacrifice for the sake of, and I think it's most challenging with children. You feel like that's the best parent when they put themselves completely aside for the sake of their children. And being, I said this before, the perfect parent, because I'm not one, that I do think that putting yourself a priority and taking care of yourself and self-care and what inspires you or what keeps you healthy or what, however that looks for you, is exactly what you just said. It allows you to show up better in your life for the people you care about. And you have a family. Isn't that a beautiful example you're setting for your children when they become adults?
Absolutely. And we bring them very much into this insight and this understanding. You know, every 6 weeks or so, I take a few days, just dad time, just husband time, just Toray time. And when I initially used to go, you know, the kids would be like, oh, dad, you know, you're leaving, you know, and they would be upset. And I'm like, listen, children, trust me, when I come back, when I walk back through that door, you're going to have a more patient dad. You're going to have a more fun dad, you know. And you know what? I delivered. I didn't go and take that time away and not get what my spirit, soul, body needed. Yeah. I actually did that. I invested that time. And then when I came back, I walked to the door. I've got so much energy. I've got so much innovation. I'm patient. So we teach it to them and now they see it in practice. So now when I walk out the door, there's a little sadness, but they're like, oh, no. When dad comes back, dad's going to be amazing.
Oh, I love that message so much.
Can we also apply that concept? So you have a business background.
Yep.
And so let's say that you wanted to speak to or apply the principles and balance to maybe business owners, maybe a small business owner who runs a busy law practice in Poughkeepsie, New York, just hypothetically speaking. Now, how do you take time for yourself and be self-full when you're running a practice where you have employees and clients, and when you are not there, they think that all you are doing is sipping margaritas on a yacht, which actually maybe that's part of what you can do for self-care, but they think that you're having fun and somehow they resent your being self-full. Is there a way to communicate with those people who you didn't give birth to that I'm doing this for us and not just for me, or is there a way?
Absolutely. Well, I think culture in any organization, whether it's a large organization or a small business like you're describing, I think culture is vital. And part of that culture has to be balance. And I believe that individual should model balance, but then should create space for their staff to employ those principles, whether it's giving them, you know, a day off here, there, a weekend off or so, you know, and I think it's critical because as an entrepreneur, as a small business owner, your innovation and your creativity is vital to the success of your organization. So yes, you've got to take that time, but then it's also vital to your staff. And so, you know, I've got people, CEOs are, you know, getting this book for their whole team because they want balance to be a part of the culture. So I think to your question specifically, If you make this a part of the culture by taking the time to teach it, to model it, and to share it, and show your staff, hey, I care, I'm doing this for you, but I'm also encouraging you to do it for you, for your family, for your children, and for our organization. I think if you present it well and share it, I think it will go over much better than just applying it and not sharing the good news.
I love it. Would you agree with, because this is, and again, I'm being a little bit personal here. How do you know when you're out of balance? Like, do you know, like, nobody knocks on your door and says, hey, you look a little out of balance to me. Is it just that feeling of being uncomfortable more than you're comfortable? Is it that your relationships suffer? Is it a combination of those? Like, how do you know when it's time to work on getting balanced?
That's a phenomenal question. Here's the issue. A lot of people, if the majority of people say at least once, you know, I need to find balance, what they're also saying is that I have normalized imbalance. And so I love the question, because the question does speak to the fact that, you know, we need to find some way to identify it. And I think it takes intentionality. In the book, I talk about the five signs of imbalance. Now, to be fair, there can be 105 signs. You have to kind of know yourself. But there's some key ones that I think will really resonate with most people when they are out of balance. And one of them in particular I'll share is weariness. And there's a difference between tiredness and weariness. You know, when you're tired, you just get some sleep, you know, and you'll be okay. But when you're weary, there's something else going on. You're depleted physically, of course, but then you're also depleted emotionally, you know, spiritually. And so when you are weary, you're in trouble and you're out of balance. And you know, this is a really strong sentence about weariness, but I'm going to say it because I do think that weariness, if not dealt with, can really be catastrophic. But this definition for weariness I have is the subtle, gradual, gravitational pull down to the tarmac of disaster. Now, I know that was a lot, but, you know, it's subtle, it's gradual, but if you don't deal with weariness, you are on your way down. Your thoughts will slip, in some cases, your integrity will slip, you know, you become a different person when you're weary. And so there are plenty of signs. You know, I think weariness is the biggest one. You know, lack of vision. All of a sudden, you feel stagnant. You don't have vision for things forward. Envy and jealousy. You know, now you're kind of jealous of people around you where you should be happy. So there is certainly some signs. But again, for each person, they're different. But yes, there is a disruption of your peace. And it certainly means that there's something you need to do to get your balance back.
Well, and part of what a major part of what your book is doing is helping people identify when their life is out of balance. And that could be why the undercurrent of feeling unfulfilled or unhappy or anxiety or any of those undercurrents or maybe overcurrents. Then kind of every story is different, every person's different, but it's kind of a roadmap to say, okay, start here. Here's where you need to look first, and you guide people to have a new understanding of what balance is, why it's important, for your life, probably, and how to get yourself better to that point. That's your book is designed to help people do that.
Absolutely. And people often ask, I should say, you know, what's the first step to balance? You know, make it practical for me. And I say, you know what? The first step is actually not a step. It's to stop. And people are like, what? You know, because, you know, I've discovered in my life, particularly when you're busy and you are an achiever, you might even say high achiever, the hardest thing to do sometimes is not to go. You know, going is easy, you know, stopping is hard, you know, to believe that you actually can stop and your world not fall apart. That takes a lot of faith, you know, but it's so critical. And here is the truth. You know, I've had to pull away from work and pull away from things and ultimately to delegate. And in the process of delegating, not only did I get myself restored and back to balance, but I discovered that there are people on my team that had gifts and talents that enhanced the organization. I'm like, whoa, where have you been hiding? I've been hiding in your imbalance, sir.
That's where I've been. Wow.
Wow, that is cool.
I totally love it.
So we got to have the courage to stop sometimes.
Do you also think is important?
Oh, sorry, John. Okay. I was just going to say, you talk about that right in the beginning of your book and the irony of you writing a book about balance and you discovering how out of balance you were and you had to stop, right? You had to pause and really reflect and get in touch with what you needed to get in touch with to then deliver what you wanted to give the rest of us.
Absolutely. I love my agent, Jan Miller. She's incredible. But she, you know, I sent her, you know, my book was halfway written on balance. And she called me and she said, Torre, I love you, but this is not your best. Oh, wow. And I'm like, ouch, you know, and so I said, and when I thought about it, she was right. You know what? She was right and wrong. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. She was right. She was wrong in the sense that it was actually my best based on the state that I was in.
But she was
right in the fact that it wasn't the best that she has seen me perform at. It wasn't my balanced best. And I stopped and took time off and I scrapped half of a manuscript. I scrapped it, started over, and now this book is just helping so many people.
Do you have a podcast?
And that's a beautiful thing.
Yes, I do. I have one now, and one is it's based on what I do at One, but I'm actually launching a podcast. This is my first time saying it publicly, but called Balance with Torre Roberts.
I'll be looking for that. Oh, yeah. Talk to you all day.
Awesome.
And people heard it here first. This is the first. We scooped everybody. Fantastic. No, I'm really loving this. You know, sometimes, Torre, we have guests on the show and I kind of take advantage and I use it as my own personal therapy session. I'm doing that. I am totally doing that right now. I'm sorry, but everything that you are saying is hitting home with me. And you're talking, I'm going through the litany of things that I know that I need to change. And like, for example, if I could just get personal for one more minute, like before the pandemic, and again, I think my whole life lately seems to revolve around pre-pandemic and post-pandemic. Before the pandemic, I had no problem being away from my office for 1 to 2 days a week doing other things, whether it was marketing, doing the TV stuff, or not just relaxing, because I don't really relax, but it is relaxing for me to do things other than be in the office, whether, like I said, TV, radio, blah, blah. And I would do that religiously 1 to 2 days a week, like I had a schedule. Pandemic happened, that changed. Now it's kind of post-pandemic, and I want to get back to being away from the office 1 to 2 days a week, because I felt then I was at my best, and I'm struggling putting myself back on that kind of schedule, because my people now look at me, they're so used to having me around, they're like, where are you going? And it makes me feel guilty. And I'm struggling with that. So I know the book is going to help me through that.
Yeah, I think so. and you're right. You mentioned earlier, you know, this kind of new normal. And that's the thing about balance. You know, what is balance for you in one season could change. It may be evolving. There may be another way to satisfy your heart, your soul's desire, in a way that makes sense for everyone. Now, it could be you doing what you did before and just, you know, communicating your needs and again, creating that culture amongst your staff. Mm-hmm. But there may be, you know, maybe some new things, some exciting things that make sense for you in this new normal. And I think tapping into yourself in the deepest way will lead you to the answer to that.
I like that. Well, we're going to probably hold some group podcast parties for balance, because seriously, I think the book is tremendous. It's going to help a whole lot of people. Even you've got this calm, soothing voice. I listened to some of your videos prior to today, and you and your wife both. You compliment each other. It's a wonderful thing. So the book is widely available. But if people want to connect with you, Torre, and learn more about you, where to find you, what is the best way for them to connect with you?
I'm on most of the social media platforms, Instagram, mm-hmm. Facebook, Twitter, even TikTok, believe it or not. And it's at Toure, T-O-U-R-E, Roberts. Or if you go to thebalancebook.com, the book info and all that information on my social, about my socials is there as well.
Thebalancebook.com. We've been speaking with Pastor Toure Roberts about his latest book, Balance, How to Do All Things Well. It really has been a pleasure. I think you're going to have a whole lot more fans from the Hudson Valley area very soon. So thank you once again for joining
us. Thank you so much for all you do. Yes, and taking the time to talk with us.
Oh, I had a wonderful time. Thank you.
Much appreciated. And as Jonna and Carol are fond of saying, you've got 13 possible new people that might be reading your book.
We might have 14 listeners by now, right?
That's right. Right here in the Hudson Valley, my friend. So
amazing.
All right. Toure Roberts, thank you again for joining us this morning. You've got Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. And this is Happy Hour. And we're not quite done yet. Segment 3 is on the way. So please stick around.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Laugh more, stress less. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back again. One more time, segment number 3 here on Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Frankenberry.
See, at least I didn't forget like last week.
Yeah, that was crazy.
I know.
That was a first.
Yeah, that was stars out of alignment kind of crap right there.
Yeah.
So
I can't wait for Pastor Toure to get his podcast going because I could listen to him all day. He's wise, he's calm, he's soothing.
Exactly. Down I was just going to say, you know, for a guy that knows voices, I really enjoyed listening to him.
Yeah.
No, and it's such a good message, and it makes sense. And I think whenever you're like, I guess I'll say type A, you know, kind of like hard charging, you forget that. And we've talked about this in the past, not recently, but, you know, it is important to take time to, like, do nothing, to really kind of recharge your batteries. And that's hard for some people. It's hard for me. I know that. So it's nice to have some validation. And he's a successful dude. So a very successful dude. So it's a good read. Like I said, I'm halfway through. And I'm happy we found him. He's been very generous with his time. He's kind of a big deal.
Kind of a big deal. He's got like 500,000 Instagram followers, right?
Well, of course he's kind of a big deal. He just was on our show, for God's sake.
Yeah.
That's right. We're the gateway.
Damn straight. 14 listeners, baby.
No, I think we're up to like 17, 18, Frankenberry.
What did we add 4 since we were talking to the pastor?
I think
we underestimated.
Certainly possible.
Right.
You're not going to discount that possibility, I understand.
You know, since like last week, you know.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed talking to him.
I'm glad none of us dropped any curses in front of the pastor. So
yes, we don't want to be going to HE double hockey sticks courtesy of him now, do we?
Right. No, we did good.
Yes, we did. We did. So anyway, again, thank you to the pastor for joining us this morning and sharing his wisdom. And for Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci, I am Frankenberry. You've been listening to Happy Hour. And we'll be back again next week, same time, right here. So please join us again then.
Wait, before we go.
Yeah.
Can I just say one thing? I think this might be the first ever show that we got through where UPS didn't knock on Curly's door.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, setting records.
First one.
That's right. But just to fill that void, Toure did have his own dog bark once during the show. You know, so
that's right.
Yeah, so we did get that requisite dog bark in there somewhere.
And I just had sirens go by my location, so we're good. For the background noise, we're good.
Yeah, we're all set. Okay, so again, we'll be back again next week. Same place, same time, right here. So join us again then.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. More life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview comes your way next Sunday at 7 a.m. to help you live better, stress less, and laugh more. Until then, catch this week's show and others at the Happy Hour link on K104Online.com.